Mr. Adamson, real one. When and where were you born, Mr. Adamson?
I was born in Hartlepool, on the 6th of January, 1922.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a general labourer in the local shipyards.
Were you the only child?
Of a half-sister, which was born in 1919, 2.5 years before I was born.
The neighbourhood in which you were born into and grew up in, what can you describe it, what kind of a neighbourhood it was?
Well, unfortunately, due to my father's circumstances, we lived in a succession of rooms rather than a house of our own. And once again, due to circumstances, we moved from time to time, so I was never in a real settled neighbourhood as such. They were all terrace houses, in some cases they were, council properties, council tenanted properties, but as such, it was always moving after a year, 6 months or something like that.
Working class area, was it?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And obviously, as you say, you're moving around a great deal, but what was it like in those days with your neighbours? Did you get on well with neighbours?
Oh, yes. The neighbours were always of working class stock, the same as my father, and they were always very affable towards one another. In those days, you could walk out, leave your door open, and nobody ever bothered. Your children were safe on the streets, they could play on the streets. There was never the problems you have in today's world. But, I enjoyed my childhood, even though it was different in some cases to others.
Family income, was it sufficient? Did you have a reasonably comfortable life?
I don't think I did have a comfortable life, because unfortunately, at the age of about approximately 5 years old, my parents split up. And my sister and my mother departed to her parents, and I was left with my father. And in fact, my father brought me up virtually from the age of 5. So by this time, at 5 years old, we were into the Depression area. And consequently, my father, like a lot more, was out of work. And like a lot more people that were on the dole, which was, in those days, almost a pittance to what they can achieve nowadays for being on the dole. He had to make ends meet. And like a lot more people from the Hartlepool and district area, they used to go for coal on a motor, on a push bike, and he used to travel up the northeast coast from Hartlepool up to Blackhall, Horden, Haisington, and now they gathered the coal from the beaches, which was called in those days, they used to call it roundies, which was coal which had been dumped out at sea and then eventually washed up on the beaches. Or they used to go up to the pit heaps, the stone heaps, where the rejected coal was rejected and dumped at the outside of the pits. And they used to scrounge through that for coal, pieces of good coal rather than stone. So consequently, in those days, I was left a lot on my own. My father often would probably go out for coal. He used to get approximately either 2 or 3 bags at the time, which in those days they sold for a shilling a bag. And to make ends meet, because like a lot more people, like a lot of men in those days, they liked to drink. Not a lot, but they used to like a drink, and consequently the money had to come from somewhere, because the dole money wouldn't substantiate that sort of living. He would probably go out for coal maybe 3 times a day, Depending on the weather.
Well, this is a time of soup kitchens. Do you remember those?
Hmm?
Do you remember the soup kitchens during the Depression?
Not a great deal about public soup kitchens in to that extent. Where I lived was classed as from 5 year old, was classed as a roughish area of Hartlepool. But like a lot more people, the rough areas had the good people that lived amongst them. And there was an old lady who used to live on the other side of the road from where we lived, and we're living in rooms. My father and I occupied two rooms in an ordinary terrace house, which was upstairs. And there was an old lady over the road used to run her own private soup kitchen, and it was for people like me. My father would probably leave me a penny, and I used to go, after I come from school on a dinner time, my father would say, there's a penny, there's some bread in the cupboard, and I used to go and get a bowl of soup from this old lady over the road for a penny, and that was my dinner.
Did you miss your mother when they split up?
Not a great deal for the simple reason that, unfortunately, prior to them splitting up, there was always arguments between the pair of them. My mother liked a bit more exotic life than what she was living, and consequently there was always arguments between my father and my mother, and I think after they parted I thought, well, at least the arguments have stopped.
And you got on well with your father?
Oh, yes, yes, he was my idol. He was only small, but to me he was 6 foot tall.
At what age did you start school?
5 year old.
And do you recall your first school?
Was it?
Do you recall your first school?
Yes, it was Brome School, which wasn't too far from where I lived. I enjoyed it, I enjoyed the schooling, I enjoyed my school pals and all my pals owned in the area that I lived in. As I say, it was a rough area, but there were some really rough diamonds amongst them.
Any school teacher that stands out as influencing you in any way?
Not in the early days, not until later on. I'd probably be 10 or 11. And we moved from that area. There was no one at that time that stood out amongst them. But when I moved to another area of the town, and I'd be probably 11 year old, there were teachers that stood out amongst them then. In fact, the headmaster of the school that I went to was a school called War Jackson School, and the headmaster happened to be the brother of my uncle, a gentleman called Rutherford, and I think at that particular time he was the Commissioner of Scouts for Dedham. Not my uncle, his brother, and he was the headmaster. Not that conversation ever came between us that I explained the relationship, but nevertheless, he was a chap I always seemed to look forward and look up to, and another gentleman at that particular time, a gentleman named Woodward. And then I moved from there at the age of 12, and I moved to a school which is known as Church Square School, and it is now part of the College of Art in Hartlepool, and I went and there were some significant school teachers in amongst those that taught me, you'll appreciate I was only there for 2 years, and in particular the headmaster, a gentleman of small stature, but immense popularity. He was a gentleman called Snowden, Pop Snowden. He was a wonderful little man. And his office, the headmaster's office, was adjacent to the class that I finished up in, which was from the age of 12, when you went to this Church Square school, your standard started at 5, 5 A, B and C, and 6 A, B and C, and then there was what was called X7, and X7 was the top class of the school, and that was where I finished up in X7, and Pop Snowden's office was adjacent to the classroom, so quite often you could see Pop Snowden stood watching the X7 lads, and vice versa, they were watching him. But he was a wonderful little man.
What were your favourite subjects at school?
I would probably say maths. But you'll appreciate that as an elementary school, what they didn't teach you in elementary schools were the things that you got when you went to the likes of a secondary school and eventually a technical school, and that was such things as algebra and things like that. So basically maths, and even today maths, I'm fairly quick at figures even now, I can pick figures out and like that. But I would say maths. I don't think I was ever too keen on English. Geography I used to like, and of course sport. But I would say the thing that stood out was probably geography and maths.
And what was the school discipline if you did wrong?
The school?
Discipline.
Oh, very good. Very, very good. There was never any back-answering that you get nowadays. If a teacher told you to do a thing, you did it. And if you took homework home and it wasn't up to standard, and the following morning when you took it in it was being marked, it wasn't up to the teacher's expectations, you were told about it. If there was anything in the way of, what shall I say, violence or anything like that in the school playground, you suffered from it.
And was that the cane? Was that the cane that you got?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can relate to one particular instance in the school. When I joined Church Square at the Church Square School at the age of 12, I had a cousin that was approximately a couple of years older than myself. And there was a particular part of the school playground was known as the punching corner. And on this particular day that I went in as a newcomer, newcomers were often subjected to a bit of hammering in the punching corner. And I was subjected to it, even though my cousin was amongst the people that was dishing it out. And when we got back into the classroom, the teacher had asked me questions about the punching corner, and of course I denied any involvement whatsoever. But unfortunately, one member of the class at that particular time spoke up and started to tell, in other words, he was telling them what went on. And the teacher came and brought me out in the front of the class, and I got 6 of the best for not telling them what had gone on. And of course, by this time, it had got back to my cousin. He was taken out, and he was given 6 of the best for telling, and I hadn't done the telling. And after the school had finished on the night, on the way home, I got another good hiding of him, because he implied that I'd told, that was Bob. And he said, you split on it. I said, it wasn't me. So I finished up getting a good hiding, the cane, and another good hiding for telling, which I wasn't responsible.
What were the games that young children got up to outside in leisure activities?
Oh, hopscotch, things like that. Delevo, Rounders, anything like that. A lot of those games used to be played in the street. Marbles, of course, was a favourite pastime of kiddies then of my age. But up to about 11 or 12 year old, when you felt they were getting too old for those childish games that they used to play, Delevo, a Mona Kitty and things like that, which was played on people's back, Leapfrog, things like that. Oh, the sorts of games that the kids played in those days. You didn't need anything to stimulate any interest and enjoyment.
Did the church or the chapel play its part in your life?
Unfortunately not. As I say, with being brought up with just a father, the church never came into it, so I was never one that went to church on a Sunday or chapel or Sunday school or anything like that. It's probably something I regretted later on in life, for the simple reason that I missed out what the other kids were getting and what they were involved with.
You didn't join the Scouts or the Boys Brigade?
No. What I did join when I was probably about 12 and a half, mainly because I had a headquarters not very far from where I lived, I joined the St. John's Ambulance Cadets, and I think I probably was in them for about a year, 2 years at least. And as a St. John's Ambulance Cadet, with the St. John's Ambulance officer, used to go to football matches. Sometimes you got to go to the cinema free, where you were either part of the sat at the back in case of emergency, or if it was a football match or anything like that. So that was one thing I did enjoy, and I found it gave me a basic interest in first aid, which not that I had any cause to put it into practice, but at least I had the knowledge.
And they taught you first aid, as you've just intimated.
Yeah.
At what kind of level was that? Was it just basic?
Basic first aid, yes. Yes, you were taught how to bandage people up. You were taught how to observe and discern various fractures if people had any injuries, how to stem the flow of blood and things like that in the case of a fracture. Basic. And obviously what you were there to do as a cadet was more to assist a St. John's Ambulance man or lady, whichever the case may be, because there were girls cadets as well as boy cadets. So you were there to basically assist them.
And you had a bit of a uniform. What was that?
For the boys, it was black short trousers. As you got older, until, say, 15 or 16, it became long trousers. But at 12 and 13, and maybe up to 14, depending on your size, it was a pair of black trousers. You had a grey blouse, and you also had a black beret. Of course, the grey blouse had like an apron front on it, and emblazoned on the front was the St. John's Ambulance logo. You had a very sparse sort of kit, of ambulance kit, which probably consisted of the old triangular bandage and a couple of bandages and maybe some ointment or something on salve or something of that nature. You kept that. You had a pouch. You had a sash that went across one side, and of course it was the satchel was held into place with a belt, and you kept your ambulance kit in the little satchel on the side.
And how many nights a week or days a week were you involved with that?
We could go down as often as we wanted. There were certain nights in the week set aside for instruction on various lectures of by officers, senior officers and people like that. But it also had a small social side to it, in as much as that the hall that they used to use had a billiard table in. It was only probably half to three-quarter size billiard table, but for about a penny you could play for half an hour on the billiard table. So it kept us out of trouble, and it kept us together as a community, you see.
And there must have been some measure of discipline built into that.
Oh, yes, yes. Once again, there were... Whenever you went down into the hall, other than the officers that were there for probably instruction purposes, there was also one officer there that used to look after the hall and the social side, such as... They had a very small canteen where you could buy glasses of lemonade and things like that. And there was a senior officer who used to be in charge of that. And nobody stepped over the line where he was concerned.
What age did you leave school?
14.
And what did you do then?
I left initially to take up a position as an apprentice butcher. Something I enjoyed in the short space of time I was there. Incidentally, at school... I had a fairly unique report at the end of it, because from 5 to 14, I don't think I'd been absent more than one or twice in that entire time. And in fact, along with another young girl from the town, we both received prizes for exemplary attendance record. And I left at 14, as I say, to take up a position as a butcher, apprentice butcher. And unfortunately, within about a fortnight to 3 weeks of being there, I suffered an extremely bad cold and I was off work a week. I was only fairly small at school. When I went as a butcher, and of course after having been there just a short time, I eventually fell ill. The butcher manager turned round, he said, "I don't think you're cut out to be a butcher, you're not big enough, you're not strong enough." And unfortunately, my employment was terminated. So it was left to my own devices to find myself another job. Incidentally, I'd found the first job on my own, and I eventually, through local adverts in the newspapers, I found another job, which I went down and went through an interview. At that particular time, the manageress and the area manager of the shop that I went to eventually work for quoted the amount of money which was a weekly wage. And I wasn't very happy with it. And I said, "Oh, I couldn't work for that."
How much was that?
It was 7 and 6 a week. And I said to the area manager, I'm afraid I couldn't work for that. I said, "I've been getting more than that as an apprentice butcher." So she said, "Well, how much would you expect for a weekly wage?" I said, "I think 10 shillings would be nearer the mark." She said, "Well, I'm not authorised to grant that sort of a rise, but nevertheless," she said, I'll take your questions and you note your reply." And a few days later, I got a note to say that the job was mine. I was starting on 10 shillings a week.
Who was this you were working for?
I went to work for a firm called Smith's Dyers and Cleaners. And they had two main depots, besides the branches which were out throughout nearly every town in the northeast. The two main branches, one was at a place called Dewsbury, and the other was at a place called Murfield. And I went to work for them, And the, as I say, the basic wage was 10 shillings a week. But you also paid a commission on the orders that you received. And this involved going round to houses and asking if they wanted any dyeing or cleaning done. And they would then either say, yes, I have, or whatever. And I eventually became quite an expert in placing the orders, for the simple reason that if you took an order with several articles in it and you took it back to the shop, that unfortunately was classed as just one order. But in fact, if you made several journeys to that house and took, say, several articles away at different times and took them back to the shop, they were all classed as an order. And at the end of each month, the the messenger boy or messenger girl, whichever the case may be, I think there were more messenger boys in those days, whatever the messenger boy, the number of orders that he'd got in a month, they used to have an honours list. And the honours list used to award you a 10 shilling prize. And needless to say, I became a bit of an expert in that. And I used to go to a house several times a day. And obviously the people in those days that supplied or asked for things to be cleaned were the more prosperous people of the town. In other words, the posh area of the town. And I used to cycle up to the park area of the town and go there several times a day and bring orders back. And on numerous occasions during my, I think I was there 2 years actually, just short of 2 years, in numerous occasions I was the messenger boy of the month and got the 10 shilling prize. So this all added up to my wages, which were 10 shillings. So, and my father, I think my father's dole money in those days was about 17 and 6 a week. And I quite often finished up with more money than he was getting for dole money. And I was a messenger boy.
And you handed your money to your father and get pocket money back?
Yes, I handed everything over to my father and I got money back in return.
What hours did you work?
Roughly from about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning till about 5 o'clock at night.
And 5 days a week?
6 days a week. She worked on a Saturday.
And was a Saturday half day or full day?
Wednesday was a half day. Used to... what was I going to say? With the carrier bike that we used to use in those days was one of the old-fashioned ones with a very small wheel on the front and a big box on the front which carried all the orders. So you had to be quite fit to do the amount of cycling through the town, and especially from where the shop was to where the park area, where most of the bulk of the orders were received from. So cycling up and down there probably several times a day was it kept you fairly fit.